a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Astros off today. They got rid of that guy who played first base poorly, and we're never mentioning his name again.
Yuli?
Yuli played first base very well.
For a while.
Defensively, was a gold glover and won the AL batting crown in 2021.
Oh, Trey Mancini.
Trey Mancini, at the very least, did make a defensive contribution to the eventual World Series champion 2022 Houston Astros. But let's talk about the Houston Texans for a moment, because, Joe, you asked the question before the commercial break. Who is the Houston Texan with the most to prove? I don't think there's any debate on this one. It's Stephon Diggs.
Ooh, interesting.
Playing on a one-year contract. The Bills won when they stopped forcing him the ball last year. He's in a crowded wide receiver room with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. I don't think there's any debate. The Houston Texan with the most to prove this coming season is Stephon Diggs, mainly to prove that he is capable of earning another contract from some other team, seeing as this is probably going to be his only season with the Houston Texans, the way wide receiver contracts are these days, very expensive.
Yeah, I don't know why he slipped my mind when I asked that question, because it wasn't the first name that popped in my head. So it's probably the right answer. But I was thinking Jalen Petrie, of the guys who have more been on the team, of the Texan that has the most to prove this year. Because Petrie's rookie year was really good.
It
was really good. And then last year was such a disappointment. And when you talk about the questions that you have with this team, like, safety is still probably the top question mark. Like, you know you have Stingley, so you know you have one good corner. But you have Jimmy Ward and you have Petrie. I don't expect much from Jimmy Ward. I expect a lot more from Jalen Petrie in 2024 if this team has the hopes and aspirations that it does. So I would say it's Diggs one, to your point. I think you're right about that. And then I would say Petrie's number two on my list.
I do think cornerback two is a bigger area of concern than the safety position. And while we're hearing good things about Kamari Lassiter at minicamp and OTAs, let's see that actually happen in a game. But to what you're saying, Petrie does have a lot to prove, because last year he was a liability in coverage, and the year before he was opportunistic. He had 5 interceptions. He was always around the football, missing a lot of tackles, but always seemed to be in the right place at the right time. And last year, maybe it was because of just the different defensive scheme, not the same thing. It's going to be really curious between Jalen Petrie, and Damian Pierce, who bounces back after the first year of the D'Amico Ryans, Bobby Slowick era for those two, went very poorly.
I kind of feel like Pierce is just going to kind of fade away.
Why?
I just don't have any expectations for him.
Why not?
I don't know. To me, Joe Mixon and Jawar Jordan are going to be your primary backs.
Jawar Jordan, I would be shocked if he plays. I feel
Damian Pierce barely played last year.
Yeah, but Damian Pierce, I think with Damian Pierce, you clearly have something. I understand that it doesn't necessarily work in the system, but if you watch the film in 2022, he's clearly very talented. He can break tackles. He's powerful.
For sure.
Jawar Jordan does not check off any of the boxes for, at least based off of what very little I know of him coming out of Louisville. A guy who's drafted in the 5th round, who doesn't seem to be that fast or that shifty. I'm not looking at him as somebody who steps in and has much of an impact. I think Pierce is going to bounce back this season.
I hope so.
Could be wrong. And, you know, we're hoping that between he and Jalen Petrie, both of them bounce back. If you had to pick one or the other, I'm assuming you're going to pick Petrie over Pierce.
And it's more about playing time. Like, even if Pierce bounces back, it's going to be limited, right, with how much they're going to ask him to do. Mixon will be the primary guy. So I think they'll always kind of be, like, I don't think we're going to walk out of this season and say, hey, Damian Pierce, he's your number one running back. Move out of the Mixon contract after a season. Like, find your way out of it. Just bail on it and make Pierce your guy. I don't know if he's going to touch the ball enough to get to that point. So that's why I would lean Petrie.
I get you on that front, but I feel like that's not how we look at running back anymore. I think generally the bell cow guy is dead, because if you have only one guy and you use him all the time and then all of a sudden he's hurt or he's banged up, you're kind of screwed offensively. I feel like optimally, they're using Mixon a lot, but they're also using Pierce a lot more than they did last season. It was crazy that there were games where he was only getting one carry, to your point. And that does scream, wasn't a fit, but again, it's offseason. We've heard a lot of good things about this guy, though. Coming back this year, obviously remains to be seen what he does on the field.
I mean, to your point, like going into the offseason, I thought that they were going to sign two running backs. I thought that they were going to move on from Damian Pierce completely because of what we just talked about with the limited playing time he got last year and how they were really the most unbalanced team. Where like most teams in the NFL do have two running backs, to what you're saying, that they share the carries between, and the Texans completely avoided that. So I thought they were going to get like a Mixon and honestly, and like a Stingley, like a new version of Stingley, that have two guys for their backfield. And
new version of Stingley?
Like a signed Joe Mixon and Stingley.
What do you mean by Stingley?
Not Stingley. Singletary.
Singletary. Gotcha. Okay. Okay.
Bad brain day. So I was like, why does he understand? And I was like, duh, no, I'm saying the name wrong. I was like, I'm so confused right now.
I don't know. I was like, is there a guy I'm not aware of?
No, but like signed two running backs and then kind of fade Pierce out of the equation. But they didn't do that. So that means they must have some faith that he can be the guy.
You can't move on from Pierce entirely just because of the rookie contract and all that, but I really think there's something there. Maybe I'm going to be the last one on this island, like that random dude who was found in the jungle decades after World War II who still thought the war was going on. Speaking of the war, it feels like the Astros are constantly in a war against health, and yes. The most recent example of this is an update that we got on Saturday before the Astros game against the Detroit Tigers, where we found out that Justin Verlander was scratched. Spencer Arrighetti comes in, and he gives up 10 runs. Excuse me, he didn't even make it out of the second inning. But the Astros gave up 10 runs in the first three innings, and Arrighetti got shelled along the way. Arrighetti even said afterwards, this has nothing to do with the change in schedule. Justin Verlander, for his part, the Astros pitcher, was asked, hey, what's going on with the neck injury that caused the scratch on Saturday? Here's what he had to say.
A couple weeks ago, between starts, just kind of neck got a little tight on me, and I've been able to kind of navigate through it, but talking with the trainers and the team, we did a couple off days we had around this. We thought it'd probably be best to really try to get over the hump and hopefully resolve this thing for good.
What's next for you? Just taking it day by day?
Yeah, I wish I could give you a concrete answer. I think it's kind of following the same pattern where after I throw a little bit, it gets a little flared up, and then kind of got to work through it. If this was playoff time, I'd like to think I'd be out there, but but that pattern where it's just kind of like every day getting a little bit better, I think this time around, like I said with the off days, I think talking with everybody, we think it's the best to try to just let it fully resolve itself, and hopefully it does.
It's so frustrating hearing Verlander say that he's been dealing with this for weeks, and that on Wednesday at his bullpen session, he felt it there, and that we go from Wednesday to Saturday, where it seems the Astros had no plan, and then he just gets scratched on Saturday. And when you combine that with the latest on Kyle Tucker, who is, per Dana Brown, quote, trending in the right direction, end quote, and is, quote, getting close, end quote, to the point he'd be sent on a minor league rehab assignment. How can you have any faith in the Astros training or medical staff? And maybe you can put this one on Justin Verlander for playing through it and not telling anybody about it. But, we've been looking at who the next person will be outside of the first baseman, whose name we will never mention again on this show, seeing as he is no longer a part of the team. And to me, the way that the Astros have managed injuries over the last couple of seasons, and this year in particular, it drives you crazy. And I get it. I'm not asking for them to share all of these players' vitals every single day. I don't need to see all of their records. But they are seemingly mismanaging these guys, and you can't afford to be without Justin Verlander for any time. Could you have perhaps made this go away if, when Verlander feels that at first, you find a way to give him a start off? But now you're in a spot due to the lack of depth that something that I guess has been dealt with by Verlander for the last couple of weeks is now causing him to get scratched last second, and you get shelled by the Tigers in a series where you should have walked away with a sweep.
Yeah, I mean, the Astros have done us no favors, or done themselves no favors, and giving them reason to believe them with injuries. I don't think it's unfair for Astros fans to hear neck injury and just think, well, he's probably having Tommy John, because this is what we just went through with Christian Javier. We just saw this. And it's funny, like, you hear weeks, you know, everyone's definition of weeks is always a little bit different, but you look at Justin Verlander's last two starts on the 6th and the 9th. He pitched a total of 10 innings. He gave up 14 hits. He gave up 8 earned runs. He struck out 7 batters total in those two games. His previous two starts, he pitched 13 innings, gave up 11 hits, but he struck out 18 batters. So, like, you kind of see Seattle and Oakland, he dominates. St. Louis and the Angels, in the last 2 weeks, this month, in the last 17 days now, he struggled. And I would have rather him miss one of those starts, figure out what's going on, take a breather, and figure out what's next, versus letting someone at his age, not to be ageist again, but try to push through a neck injury in which he's hopeful it's only going to be one start. But if every single time he's pitching, it flares up and is a problem, well, then you have a bigger problem you have to solve. And the Astros don't deserve any belief that they're going to be able to identify this quickly and figure out how to make it better.
Yeah. Whenever they say something about injuries, it's just hard to believe them. And, you know, the last time we heard about a neck injury with an Astros pitcher, Christian Javier's season is over. To go a little bit further, okay, Verlander is scheduled to pitch on Friday against the Baltimore Orioles, but to what you were saying, you'd rather him miss games against teams that aren't as good. Obviously, you don't see the future and find yourself going into this coming weekend series at Minute Maid Park against the Orioles. You don't know that you're going to be potentially without Verlander for specifically that series, but if there was a series to have the guy who has won a Cy Young Award fairly recently despite being in his 40s, that's the one I want Verlander available for. And now you got to wonder, okay, so he's day-to-day, but does that mean an injured list stint is coming?
Well,
if that's the case, I mean, you're going to be in some real trouble in the starting rotation and might have to put some guys out there that never have done it.
I mean, that's where Dana Brown's always kind of, he's always talking out both sides of his mouth and just contradicts himself in a lot of ways. So he was on with Robert Ford before they do a pregame interview every Sunday. And he said it's looking like Justin Verlander could return Wednesday or Thursday in Chicago. Right now, Thursday is listed as to be announced. And then there was also saying it doesn't look like Verlander will need an injured list. Well, could return and doesn't look like he needs an injured, like an injured list stint, to me, are very different things. You shouldn't even be considering the injured list if you're thinking he's also going to be back Wednesday or Thursday. Why are you? It should be a yes or no to the injured list. And really, it should be a no if he can pitch Wednesday or Thursday. But the Astros don't really know what's going on. It just makes me think back to when I worked at the flagship in 2020, and Dusty Baker came in and did an interview, like his first interview of the season, and he started giving way too much detail. He started talking about players' injuries. This is right when you have Justin Verlander and Yordan Alvarez get hurt, and he starts giving all this information. And then the next week he comes on, and they start asking him questions, and he's like, oh, well, I said too much last week, so they're not giving me as much information. Like, that's kind of what this seems like. We're like, you just don't know who even has the information of what's going on with the Astros players, because since 2020, they've been lying. Like, they've been lying, they've been deceitful, like, and they just don't tell the truth about their players and the status of, like, what's going on.
And it would probably be in the best interest of a manager to know what his player is dealing with. If you're so scared about how he talks about it on the radio, then maybe your bigger problem is letting him do those interviews to begin with.
Yeah.
Or you didn't have a great plan as far as what he could theoretically do on the fly if challenged on the health of some of these players. Unfortunately, you're now looking at your starting rotation again right now with this Verlander neck issue. And how can you believe that everything is going to be fine and that he's going to make that next scheduled start? No matter what you heard from Verlander there, who seemed to be downplaying it a bit, he's been dealing with a neck injury for weeks, and finally it got to the point where he got scratched. It took him playing through for them to make seemingly the right medical choice as opposed to being proactive here, and I feel like that's very consistent with anything that we've heard about the Astros on the injury front over the last couple of seasons.
The way I hear Justin Verlander talk is the Astros didn't make this call. He made this call. He said, hey, like, let's dial this back here. Like, it's a little too much right now. I'm gonna skip this start. Hopefully be back on Wednesday. This doesn't sound like an Astros decision. Sounds like a Verlander decision.
And if it is a Verlander decision, you know what? I'd kind of get it, given all of the injuries that Astros pitchers have had, to blame the training staff, medical staff on that, as opposed to just how all pitchers seem to be getting elbow surgeries these days. Maybe that's not fair to do, but if I'm an Astros pitcher, say I'm Lance McCullers, and I'm seeing some guys who are coming back a little bit too early this year, seemingly Jose Urquidy, Christian Javier, I would take my time, and I probably would ignore what they're asking me to do. And if I'm Justin Verlander, I definitely have the pelts on the wall to completely ignore them. He is Joe George. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. 409, text in. With the Astros medical staff, I've already figured out that forearm tightness means out for the year with Tommy John surgery. From the 832, someone's asking to sign Trevor Bauer. Yeah, I mean, that conversation is probably not going anywhere anytime soon. But we won't talk about that first baseman anymore, so at least you've got that. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
I was surprised by this comment on Twitch from earlier in the show, Joe, because things have been going very poorly for the Houston Astros. Is this actually true? The Astros have so much PR that they have three players leading the ballot, despite being a sub-500 team by at least seven games?
Yeah, Tucker, Altuve, and Alvarez are all-stars.
Wow.
It appears. At least through the first vote. Like, obviously that can change, but Altuve and Alvarez lead their position, and then Kyle Tucker is third, so he's behind Juan Soto and Aaron Judge, so he still would be in there at the moment. I mean, I'm not surprised by Altuve and Alvarez. And Kyle Tucker at one point was leading baseball in home runs. It kind of shows you like what the Astros have been this season. You have a couple players that have still been great baseball players. And then you have a bunch of guys who just aren't doing their job.
They might have, assuming that whoever the American League manager is picks Ronel Blanco. Maybe that doesn't happen. I'm assuming the American League manager is going to be Bruce Bochy from the Rangers, right? That's how it works. The American League representative from the year before, the National League representative from the year before. I would assume that they would pick Ronel Blanco. So, yeah, you might have four All-Stars. Honestly, I think I want the Astros to sit it out. I want them to sit it out. Didn't they sit it out a couple of years ago? A couple of players were thinking about doing that.
Altuve sat out 1 year,
right? Yeah, I wanted to sit it out.
It was the Seattle one where...
Oh, so last year.
Oh, was it last year?
Was that Seattle last year? Yeah, they all wore those green, green jerseys.
I definitely didn't watch it. I said the Seattle one, so I didn't have to say a year. But yeah, and I think Altuve had something, like they all basically had like some excuse to why they couldn't play.
Altuve didn't play in 2022 or 2021 for the second year in a row. The headline, Jose Altuve will sit out the All-Star game. And this was back during the time where everyone hated Jose Altuve. There was no finally, oh, well, maybe he wasn't cheating. Oh, wow. Maybe he has been good all along, changing in the narrative that we seem to have seen over the last couple of years, and in particular after he hit that home run in Game 5. That was where a lot of baseball writers were like, you know what?
Jose Altuve, good guy. Yeah. Good player.
I remember like 2021 when him and Correa both sat out. A lot of people were trying to push that narrative that they were avoiding the booze of the cheating scandal.
That was
the big narrative that was being pushed. That was the first All-Star game since everything happened, since there was no All-Star game in 2020. And it's just so stupid. Like, that was so dumb. But I would imagine Blanco, he's got to be close. I mean, the All-Star game is always weird because they have those rules where, like, every team has to be represented now. So, because of the Astros, if they get three guys in, you know, three starters, it could push Blanco out. But he's deserving, for sure.
It's also name recognition, where if Verlander was having Ronel Blanco's like exact numbers, if you just swap their numbers, Verlander would for sure be an All-Star. We wouldn't even be asking about it. But since it's Ronel Blanco, we're not sure.
I'd put him in there.
Yeah, his numbers definitely deserved.
I mean, it's like one of the it's like we said earlier, like it's one of the best stories in baseball this year. To go like to be at that age, to come in, throw a no-hitter in your first start of the year, and then to do what you've done the rest of the season. Someone did push, like, asked on the Twitch. I can't remember who it was, but they're like, can you be suspended for a year and still be an All-Star? You can. I do wonder, like, if that would, like, if they're making their decision, if they would say, hey, we're going to not put in a guy who got busted for sticky stuff into the All-Star game as kind of, like, a punishment in a way. But there's no, like, hard, fast rule against it. But I could see Bochy being like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to pass.
Or, I'm going to do it. Make him throw 200 pitches.
Oh,
throw him out. That's my favorite. Bar. I mean, we'll talk about it in a month when we have to talk about the MLB All-Star game.
I might be on vacation.
Right now, we're just doing it for fun, apparently.
When's the All-Star game?
July 14th, isn't that? It's always like
generally around the second
it's always
week
like
of
the
July.
13th, 14th. It's like the second weekend or second week of July. It's always like a Wednesday.
First 2 weeks of July, the absolute worst 2 months in sports.
Yeah, they're not great. It is the worst time of the year. Yeah.
Now we don't even have.
We got to hope Caitlin Clark plays.
Yeah, exactly. People need to keep cheap shotting in quotation
That's
marks.
Funny. I'm off that week.
Caitlin Clark.
I'm off part of that week. Sean's out that whole week.
All right, I'll just take off.
There we go.
I mean, I wish even the Olympics aren't even on then. The Olympics don't start till July 27th. Like that would have been the best time to put the Olympics during the All-Star break, so at least we have something to talk about.
Just put it during the All-Star
break. Yeah. Be like, let's focus on America.
America.
Like, America's ratings is what really matters. Forget the rest of the countries in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Fact.
Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So, Game 5 of the NBA Finals is tonight. I have an embarrassing admission to make about the NBA Finals that I'll share with you. On the other side, and one of the guys in these NBA finals is maybe the weirdest people, maybe the weirdest person in all of sports, and it's inspired, I think, what will be a very fun conversation next. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
NBA Finals Game 5 is tonight. The Boston Celtics have a 3-1 series lead on Dallas. Dallas smoked Boston Friday night. I got an embarrassing admission to make. Sometimes your boy doesn't check the schedule, and because of these NBA Finals having 2 days in between games, I've been a little off. I assumed, given that the NBA loves them some Sundays, that Game 5 was going to be last night.
It should have been last night.
I planned my whole day around getting ready to go out and watch the game at the bar.
What does that mean? Your whole day getting ready?
I planned my whole day around at 7:30 getting out to a bar.
Gotcha.
So I had done meal prep earlier in the day. I had cleaned my apartment. I had done a little bit of show prep. I thought to myself, I'm going to go out. I'm bringing my victory dance. I'm wearing my Larry Bird jersey. Victory dance, for those who don't know, if you haven't watched Independence Day, it's a cigar. And
the game's going to happen. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to have myself a good old time. So I drive out to McIntyre's, go to McIntyre's, and I realize, wait a second, it's pretty empty here. And there's a bunch of college baseball on. And I'm like, ew. Why are we watching college baseball? The NBA finals are about to start. So I go to the bathroom, look at my phone in the bathroom, and I think to myself, wait a second, is there a chance that there are 2 days in between games again? And guess what? There were. I immediately leave the bathroom after having gone to the bathroom. I used McIntyre's like it was a McDonald's rest stop on the side of a highway, and I went back home to watch House of the Dragon.
Didn't even buy a drink or anything?
Didn't even buy a drink.
God, you're not even allowed to do that at Starbucks.
What I appreciate about Paul is that I asked him how his weekend was, and he told me the very abbreviated version of this story, but left out all those good details. Like, so like, I appreciate you saving them on air. Like, because you almost made it sound like you didn't even get to the bar before you turned around.
Oh, no, I got there.
I didn't know you went in.
I went in.
Used the restroom.
The NBA is stupid because, like the Mavs winning that game, like, there is a reason to kind of believe that, like, the series could turn around. But then you wait 2 days. You have a 2-day break. I just, like, all my interest is like gone again because I know Boston's going to win this series. And even if they win tonight,
I'm not so sure.
If Dallas wins tonight, they don't play again until Thursday. I'm just like, and then if they happen to win on Thursday, they don't play till Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Like these play every other day.
Hold on, Paul. What was that?
I'm not so sure
about what.
I'm not so sure about them winning this thing. I'm not so sure. I'm just saying it right
this,
now.
This is Debbie this Downer Paul. Fake humble.
This is not fake humble.
This is fake.
They play with their dessert. They got smoked on Friday.
They just need to win one game.
And Luka Doncic lost his effing mind in game number 3. They do have to win just one game. There's no doubt. But I think there's a chance there's Dallas no wins doubt. Tonight as well. So
I will not allow this until the if the Mavs win tonight, then I will allow you to think that the Celtics might lose this series.
Listen, but I know this team.
They're not going to lose.
I know this team.
They smoked them the other night.
Teams that lose by 30-plus in the finals the next game are 6-0.
I will be out at McIntyre's watching this game. I'm just saying right now, the confidence. I have yet to have confidence in this team.
They're going to win the championship. They're one game away from winning the championship.
Whatever, Sean. I'm just telling you how I operate as a sports fan. As someone who's a cocky sports fan when it comes to the Astros and was that way with the Patriots, I do not feel that with this team right now. Especially after Friday getting waxed. There's nothing fake about this. This is me being honest, as I always am.
Their loss against the Mavericks was their third loss this postseason. And you have no faith in this team.
Sean, I have some fun facts.
It's not no faith. It's a lack of confidence.
So no NBA team has ever won the NBA Finals.
It's going to happen someday.
Down 0-3.
It's going to happen someday.
But
no team's ever won a playoff series after me.
No NBA team has ever won a series after losing by 38-plus points.
See?
In a finals
there it
game.
Is.
Okay.
So which history?
What's the sample size?
So which history will be made?
The second one. That's the one that's going to be made. They're going to win tonight.
Today,
like, what are we talking about?
I learned today on social media that the main area code in Boston is 617.
Yep.
Today is 617.
Nice.
So, you know, Boston tanked on purpose to win on 617.
Didn't they win 08 on the They won 08.
Yeah, they did. They won went on the same day as they won in 08.
There's too much thinking going on here.
It's
going to
happen.
Numbers.
Congratulations, Paul.
Congratulations.
Stop.
617
NBA
day.
NBA champion.
Taking it one game at
Boston
a time.
Boston day for Paul.
Okay.
You know, if they win the fourth game, we'll take a look at how the NBA works.
Yeah.
We'll see how we feel then.
That's the funniest part, because you're not alone. Normally, it's the detractors from the Celtics. Like my friend told me after the Celtics went up 3-0, the Celtics are about to win the championship and prove none of the doubters wrong. Like, none of the doubters are going to be proved wrong, but they're going to win a championship. I'm surprised that a fan of the team is even like, I don't know.
That's where I'm at.
These guys aren't that good.
It is a weird finals. Like, I've been listening to a lot of, like, the Bill Simmons, Russillo stuff, and they talk about, like, the title belt as, like, the best player in the NBA. Typically, it changes hands when someone wins a championship. And how it seems so clear this year, like,
it's not going to Luka.
It's not going to Luka, and it's not going to Tatum. Like Tatum's going to win a champion because he hasn't played well enough. And it's not going to Brown. Like Jokic is still going to be clear as the best player in the NBA,
which is good.
I agree. I think it's a great thing.
It's kind of gotten crazy how this guy's the best player in the NBA. Oh, this guy's the best player in the NBA. Yeah, come on,
I think had not have like going from having LeBron make the finals every year and just be so obviously the best player in the league, then now every player now has like faults. And so you can always hold something against some of these players when they lose. So it's a weird couple years because everyone's kind of still getting held to prime LeBron standards, and there's not any prime LeBrons in the NBA.
Fact.
Celtics best team in the NBA this year. Does that make Joe Mazzulla the best coach in the NBA? Joe George is shaking his head.
The title belt for best coach.
And he's shaking his head violently. Yeah, the title belt for best coach up for grabs. Joe Mazzulla is something else.
He is.
I don't know how many people are familiar with Joe Mazzulla, who supposedly watches the movie The Town multiple times a week.
That I love.
He is from Boston. This is a guy who does MMA, gets choked out from time to time while doing MMA, uses MMA as a means to communicate to his players about the importance of always being prepared. Definitely better than that than talking about 9/11 like Sean McDermott and the hijackers, how they were a ragtag group of guys against the odds. That was, again, Sean McDermott, head coach of the Buffalo Bills, not me, something that really happened. But Mazzulla's just a different guy. Specifically, Joe Mazzulla will get asked questions from time to time, and I don't know if this is a bit or if this is just him showing how much faith he has, but here is one of two examples of, pick whatever one you want, Sean, of Joe Mazzulla making things awkward while answering questions from reporters.
A non-basketball question. Did you get a chance to meet with the royal family? And if not, how was it like having them there in the building?
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph?
The Prince and Princess of Wales.
Oh, no, I did not. I'm only familiar with one royal family. I don't know too much about that one.
I don't know if that family is royal, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I do know it is definitely worshipped. That was a funny moment. Because also, screw the Limeys, right? Like, screw the British. Screw the English. Screw the monarchy. Who cares? You're a basketball coach. Oh, you care that the royal family's there. But Joe Mazzulla loves to go to talking about the, I guess, Holy Family whenever he can. Because this happened a couple of days ago.
Hey, Joe. Vince Gilwood, Yahoo Sports. For the first time since 1975, this is the NBA Finals where you have two black head coaches. Given the plight sometimes of black head coaches in the NBA, do you think this is a significant moment? Do you take pride in this? How do you view this, or do you not see it at all?
I wonder how many of those have been Christian coaches. David Aldridge?
That awkward silence is so good. And listen,
what is that response?
I think he didn't want to answer that question. And he brought it back to religion.
I guess.
I'm pretty sure that every single NBA coach is Christian. So that would be my retort to Joe Mazzulla there.
I would say, a large portion.
That guy is about to be the head coach of the world champions.
Yeah.
And he makes me laugh.
Yeah, look, man.
So weird. He's such a weird guy.
He's just strange. And I think, honestly, him being strange is held against him.
He's a weird person.
There were tons of people that wanted to can him after last year. I thought that was crazy. It's the players. It's the same thing like with the Astros right now. It's not Joe Espada's fault. It wasn't Dusty Baker's fault.
Well, look, all the players. Here's what I know right now. I am pro one term for Joe's right now. Okay? Joe Espada?
Nice.
Joe Espada, one term. Joe Mazzulla probably should have been a one-termer.
No, Joe Mazzulla's back.
They're about to win the championship.
They're about to win the championship.
Doesn't mean he's a good coach.
What are you talking
about? They lost in Game 7 in the East Finals last
year. They should have had him last year and brought back Udoka. Okay? Like, I'm glad Udoka's here. They should have brought back Udoka.
Joe Mazzulla's Lord of the Joes, and Joe George can't handle it.
Yeah. And Sleepy Joe, gotta go. So, like, right now...
Is that a spot?
I'm not a fan. Yes, also. I don't like what's happening to my name.
I think Mazzulla's got the Joe belt right now.
I think he does, too.
He is the Joe belt. He's the Lord of the Joes.
He's the top Joe at the moment, but I think it's really sad that he's the top Joe.
I think, here's the thing, though.
Now, thankfully, they're going to make a new G.I. Joe and Transformers movie. They're going to combo it.
They shouldn't go back to the G.I. Joe.
So, G.I. Joe and Transformers. Like, I'm here for that. Like, maybe that'll...
You're going to watch those?
Yeah, I'm a sucker for Transformers. I'm not going to lie.
Did you watch the cartoon or something growing up?
Yeah. So okay. I watch all the movies.
At the bright side about Joe Mazzulla, Joe Mazzulla would probably say Joseph is the number one Joe. Joseph, Joseph, the father who stepped up.
The carpenter.
When God did not, because, you know, God was not in, God was Jesus, right?
That's a good point.
Right. So, he couldn't be the father, so someone had to step up and be the father, and Joseph stepped up.
So Joe Mazzulla is not the leader of the Joes, according to Joe Mazzulla.
No, but that's how you know that he's the leader.
Yeah, but the Joe name, I just feel like, is being dragged a lot. Like,
Joey Loperfido.
See, I like him. But he's but he's not even a real Joe.
He's a AAA player. Yeah, he's a Mario. He's not a real Joe.
He's a Mario.
Oh, whoa! Pulling this card.
It's just a fact. He's not a Joe. He's a Mario.
He is a Mario. That's true. That's his middle name.
Yeah.
Who is the best Joe in sports? 713-780-3776 to call to text. You can answer that before we wrap up
it's
here.
Not July yet, Paul.
It is. Mount Rushmore of Joes, huh? 3, 2, 1.
Do I get close?
What?
Am I close to the Mount Rushmore?
No. I mean, we didn't say Montana yet.
It's Galant and George. Stick around.
Tell you about my friends at LaBurge, Lake Charles, Sean, myself, Brian. We'll be out there on June 29th for the next UFC card. Obviously, no McGregor in that fight, but it's going to be a good card regardless. So we'll be out there doing the show on Saturday, the 29th, from 12 to 3. We'll be hanging out in the sports book, watching the UFC fight that night as well. When you want to leave Texas and bet on your Texas teams, I highly recommend doing it at LaBurge Lake Charles. You got 19 betting kiosks, great food inside the sports book. You can download the ESPN Bet app as well while you're there. So as soon as you cross into Louisiana, you can start making bets on your Texas teams. Whoever you want to bet on. You feel like the season's going to turn around for your Astros, you can bet on them. You want to feel good about the Texans this year, you can bet on them as well. They'll even have draft props coming up for the NBA as well. I can't recommend it enough. You should go check it out. And before you go to LaBurge Lake Charles, make sure you download the Penn Play app. You can win up to $2,000 in Penn Play cash.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Galant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
Last chance to dance, Galant and George. We were talking about Joe Mazzulla and his weirdness, strangeness in the last segment. And we're wondering who's the number one Joe in the world of sports.
Active
would be helpful. There are, of course, some people who are retired. Joe Montana.
Yep. He's
passed away. Joe DiMaggio.
Yep.
I suppose you could also, because he is a...
Well, you're not going to say it, Sean?
Sports reporter. You could
Joe Paterno.
Joe Paterno dead. Dead and gone forever.
Dead. There you go. There you go, Joe. Are you happy?
I'm better than Joe.
Your favorite Joe came up.
No national titles in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Kind of surprising.
Also,
last
bad dude.
Natty was 1986. He definitely seems to have overlooked some things.
Yeah.
That's a really polite way to put it,
Paul. Didn't do the most he could have to stop some things.
Didn't do anything, in fact.
Joey Chestnut. I'm better than Joey Chestnut because I don't support fake meat.
Well, hang on.
I'm not getting banned. I'm not banned from the number one competition.
You sound like Rory McIlroy, like shaming a man for getting paid. I mean, the man deserves to get paid and not have to go eat in Youngstown, Ohio, so he can make $5,000.
Is that all he makes?
I'm assuming that.
Yeah, the like lower level ones on the circuit, like you make no money.
I'm assuming he goes to all of these because he's the biggest draw, but I'm assuming he's not making much money. And he's just got to go, and his poor stomach is getting attacked the same way that poor guy Adam Richmond on Man vs. Food was probably destroying his intestines.
I feel like his stomach is in worse shape now by eating Impossible hot dogs.
Probably. I don't think it's good for you. Joe Rogan's in the sports world. He's a sports journalist.
He's great.
There we go.
He is a sports journalist.
I think he's so good on the UFC calls.
I generally watch the UFC on mute because I see it at a bar.
That makes sense. It's just like because they're fans. And because it's the UFC, there's not the lack of structure. I think so, like, the big scream when a knockout happens, like, is always a good time.
Yeah, they're not, like, by the book on how you would do a sports call where they step all over John Anik all the time. But
yeah.
It like works.
But yeah, it's almost like a, because it's like a podcast. Because like there's times when there's nothing going on in a UFC fight where yes. It's just, it's almost like a baseball game.
Although they do a pretty tough, there's some times where you can tell that they're like, there's nothing happening in this
yeah,
fight.
Yeah.
Like they drift off a lot.
Yeah, which is okay. Also, Fear Factor. Very good. I love Fear Factor.
Great sport.
It was a good competition. Would you have done Fear Factor?
I don't want to eat the bugs.
That's a problem because you don't know what you're going to get into.
Right. Yeah. You're probably going to have to eat bugs and or a dead animal's wiener.
Yeah.
I mean,
or
and not the impossible hot dog kind.
I think the worst one would be like when they put your head in the container.
Yeah.
And there's like all like the spiders
the
or bugs.
Or
that's worse.
Yeah, that's not fun. More Joes in the sports world. Joe Namath. Joe Green. Mean Joe Green. What a great nickname. There's a lot of good Joes out there, guys. And Joey Votto, above or below Joe George on the power rankings?
Joey Votto, above.
How about Joe Flacco?
He's elite, above.
Yeah. And
I'm active. I'm pretty low on this list.
Joe Torre. Joe Mauer.
You're above Mauer.
Thanks. I think
no,
above
not, not above Torre.
I don't know. He kind of sucks.
Rings.
Joey point. Galloway?
Sneaky good Joey.
Good college football analyst.
Sneaky yeah.
He's a sneaky good Joey.
Sneaky. The most underrated Joey
yeah,
of all time.
I love Joey Galloway. He was fun in Madden.
Yeah, super fast.
He was really fast, that's for sure.
I saw Joe Walsh texted in. That's obviously a good one.
Joe Burrow. I mean, that one.
That's number one, Joe.
Joe Buck.
He's my Joe.
Joe Buck's your Buck?
No.
Your Joe?
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow's your Joe.
Yeah. Hey, he's the Joe.
Gotcha. Joe?
I think I'm still a Missoula guy.
Yeah, I think
why?
I think
how
Joe
many
Missoula,
of these Joes are Christian?
Good question.
That's my question.
We don't know.
That's all that matters. To him.
In honor of Joe Missoula.
Yeah. He would knock me out.
There's only one Joe who watches the town religiously that's about to win a title on 617 Day, Ked.
Yeah, Joe Mixon.
He's on the list.
He's a Joe.
I think you're above him until and then prove it on the field, man.
I think as a man,
yeah.
I think you've had a better track record.
Agreed.
From what I know.
From what we know.
From what
we know.
I can prove that. I have a better track record.
Okay.
I can show my record, and it's empty. Nothing.
You haven't punched somebody on camera?
Not a woman.
Whoa. Have you punched a man?
Burying the lead. Who have you punched as a man on camera?
I don't know if it's on camera or not, but.
Okay. Gotcha.
Well, we had a fraternity house. I think there was cameras inside of it. So.
Oh.
I guess technically it was on camera.
If you wanted to cancel Joe George, find the fraternity
they threw the punch first.
Oh, it was a retaliatory punch.
Yeah, it's okay.
Joe is the living embodiment of Cobra, not Cobra Kai, of the Mr. Miyagi way of fighting.
Oh, what's on, what's off?
Yeah. We're just going to move on from that time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Guess what, guys?
Does Jose Abreu count?
Is that the Hispanic
that
version of Joe?
Yeah.
Jose?
I'm above Jose Abreu.
Below Altuve.
Good point.
Yes, but are you taller than Jose Altuve?
I think we're the same height. It's been a while since I've been on the field.
What, do you think he's grown?
No, I just don't remember.
Oh, okay.
But I think we're the same height.
Okay.
My driver's license says we're the same height.
But you can always lie on your driver's license. My license
but
says
so
I'm
does
60
his,
tall.
So does,
he can lie on
he
his.
He can lie on MLB.com. Like, his height could be fake news as well.
I love how shrouded in mystery this is.
So it's like,
who's
I don't,
taller?
I don't know.
The country of England is under fire. Why? Well, it's about to be on fire. Forecast maps for the United Kingdom show that temperatures could reach as high as 26 degrees Celsius.
It sounds high.
In Fahrenheit, that is a burning 79 degrees. England has been complaining about how it's going to be 79 degrees, which would be wonderful for us right now. I guess homes in England are perhaps not quite as
breathable.
Okay.
Seeing as most buildings are made out of brick, that's at least what they're Brit-splaining us about how this is going to be a brutal week. But
like there's no AC?
There's no AC.
Most places don't have AC, and most of the homes that they live in are old and made of brick, which I guess does not ventilate well.
Is that as hot as it gets there?
79.
I guess so.
Is a heat
it's
wave.
A heat wave. So.
Huh.
I mean, I get no AC. I get poor ventilation. Just leave the windows open. Like, 78 is not that hot.
Like, that's great.
Or, get this, go outside? There's probably a breeze.
No, but...
The whole country's on the water.
Do you know how much sunblock you'll have to go through?
Well, yeah, if you're an English person.
Yeah, exactly.
You're whiter than me, probably. But 79 degrees, this is going to be a heat wave.
That's crazy.
England. And they are complaining like crazy about it. And it's not even going to hit until the weekend.
They're looking ahead like
they're
it's a hurricane.
They're looking ahead, yes.
Like it's a hurricane coming.
And yeah, I'm pretty sure we got a tropical storm in the Gulf because it's hurricane season. But here we are.
That's a fact.
Looking at England, who is complaining as a country about a 79 degree.
We'll hear more about this on Soft Boys on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah, we will.
Soft Boys?
I will say on Soft Boys, at the very least, England is doing something that's making the Germans mad and could result in arrests because right now we got some European soccer matches going on. Euro Cup 2024. And speaking of Euro Cup 2024, we've got elite Euro on Euro trash talk. The Albanians, what they're doing before their match against the Italians is they're getting dry pasta and they're just breaking it in half in front of Italians. Seems to be some good-natured back and forth.
Seems
I like it.
Crime.
Are they just making him cry?
It's not quite calling an Italian Fredo, which per Chris Cuomo is like calling an Italian the end ball. But this is really close, breaking pasta in front of an Italian.
I just don't know. Like, are people getting offended by this?
Again, I can't speak for Italians. That's John Granato can.
Oh, we should ask John.
I think Dell brought it up on the morning show, and Granato did not seem thrilled about it.
You're breaking the Italian. You're breaking my balls. What are you doing?
Yeah. Oh. It was also like 4 a.m. Not actually 4 a.m., but it was super early in Vegas because he's doing the show from Vegas. So it might just been grumpy.
Well, I'd be grumpy too if I were in Vegas. Just kidding. No, that would never ever happen. So I probably wouldn't make it any of the shows. Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Gallant and George radio program. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass, to Joe George to my right. I am really Paul Gallant. So long, farewell, have yourselves a wonderful Monday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!
ESPN 97.5.